Welcome to The Water's Edge, a program of radio plays, essays, and music with a contemporary Hampton spin. We're coming to you live from Wolfer Estate Vineyards. Here's your host, Josh Pearl.
And that was Kat Lerner. Thanks, Kat. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us at The Water's Edge, where anything can happen, and it usually does. It's beautiful out here in the autumn, but to be truthful, it's beautiful out here most of the time, even in the off-season. Just don't tell anyone. We need our quiet time. But calling it the off-season hardly fits anymore. When summer ends, the festivals begin, the film, the art, the music stuff really happens, and it's become pretty easy to stay busy year-round.
Most of us were sorry to see the summer end, but all of us are relieved election season is over.
Who here is relieved to see the election season over? Clap your hands. Yes? You are, we all are. I've never gotten so much mail in my entire life. It was very stressful.
At least we don't live in Toronto. I understand the mayor there is getting his own TV show.
What? Really? Is that what it takes to get on TV? I think I'll stick to the radio.
We have a fun show tonight. We'll hear some terrific music from Hopefully Forgiven.
Go, Brad! Go, Terry! Woo!
Some local points of view, including a new train of thought from Dan Retainer and our specialty, radio theater.
We'll meet a bachelor and three bachelorettes, a married couple getting some counseling, and in our first piece, Good Night, Sleep Tight, some undesirables. Ticks, as a matter of fact.
Happily married ticks named Rocky and Lime. They're hitching a ride on Bambi as she bounds along the shoulder of Route 27, looking for a place to cross, probably right in front of you.
Oh, this is taking forever. Hello, Bambi. Can you pick up the pace a little?
Relax. We're almost there.
Why are we slowing down? Don't tell me she's lost.
No, I think she's coming to the highway.
What on earth is she doing now?
She does seem a little indecisive.
Why is she running along the shoulder?
Oh, no, I think she's going to try and cross.
Here? No, dear God, not here.
Oh, look out. Look out for those headlights.
Bambi, no!
I think we made it.
Bambi, what on earth is wrong with you? Do you know how embarrassing it would be for a south-of-the-highway resident to die under the wheels of a Hyundai Sonata? At least wait for a Range Rover, for heaven's sake.
Calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down.
Okay.
Roadside anti-deer reflectors, my thorax. Another brilliant expenditure of taxpayer dollars.
Let's jump off into the tall grass.
Fine.
Ready? Go!
Go!
Well, we made it. Goodbye, Bambi. You've been a perfect host.
Uh-huh.
Well, she was, except for that one deer in the headlights moment.
Oh, you're a riot.
Gallows humor.
Now what?
Well, be patient. He usually comes along any moment. Oh, there.
Wow.
There he is.
Look at the size of him. He's enormous.
Didn't I tell you? Oh, it looks like he's going to walk right through us. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come
closer.
A little closer.
Closer.
Here we go.
Okay. Leap and lock. Leap and lock. I made it.
Not,
I'm locked on.
Not me. I can't attach. She's wearing a jacket made out of parachute or some damn thing.
Well, that's disappointing. Ralph Lauren is not showing a men's line in silk this season.
Rocky, help me.
Oh, no, don't. I got you.
I'm
don't
slipping,
let go.
I'm slipping.
No, wait, hang on. Oh, he's flopping down on the bed. We're here. Are you okay?
Yeah. Wow, silk sheets on a Tempur-Pedic. It's going to be a good night.
Yes, I think he's asleep already.
Great. Let's suck some blood.
Well, ladies first. Mm. Bon appetit.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
I feel dizzy. I think I'm incompatible with this man's blood type. Which one is the universal donor again? O positive or AB negative?
Well, let me taste. Oh, goodness. That's not O positive.
What?
It's tequila.
Are you sure?
This fellow's been wasting away in Margaritaville.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. It won't hurt you. In fact, you might like it.
Mm.
Just take it slow so your blood alcohol level doesn't spike.
All right.
Better?
Yeah.
Rocky, do these jeans make me look engorged?
Delectably so, my sweet. Delectably so.
We really do live the good life out here, don't we?
Yes, we sure do.
Hey. Hey, what's that?
Oh, someone's coming. Who are you?
Absurd is the name. This is my wife, Celie. And you?
I'm Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. Rocky, for short, and this is my wife, Lime.
With a Y, not an I.
We're ticks.
What kind of names are Celie and Serta? What are you?
We're bed bugs.
What is a bed bug?
Oh, they're bloodsuckers. Invading bloodsuckers from the city. We don't want your kind around here.
No.
I read about this in the paper when I was attached to Dan. Mm.
We prefer the term Cymex lectularius, and we're not invading anything. It's a free country, and we have every right to be here.
How did you get out here? How in heaven's name did you get out here?
1-800-MATTRESS. Leave off the last S for blood, sucker!
I thought they had bedbug-sniffing beagles to detect you. How did you get past them?
Like, no second-rate hound is going to stop us.
But they're supposed to be trained. They detect, they point, they bark, they freeze, they do something. And they keep out parasites like you.
You kidding me? It's a scam! People are so desperate, they'll believe anything. Bedbug-sniffing beagles. Ha! Ha! The only dogs that can actually detect anything work at the airport.
How do you know that?
If you had that skill, what would you rather do? Sniff us out? Or wear a little green coat and sniff cocaine out of suitcases at the international arrival terminal at JFK?
You ever see those beagles at the end of their shifts? Those dogs are wired.
Well, Celie and Serta, none of this matters.
Mm-hmm.
We were here first.
Yes.
And you're still invading.
Yes.
Whoa, whoa, what's the harm? We'll stay out of your way.
Yes, you say that now. But in the end, you and your kind are going to end up taking all of the good blood-sucking jobs.
Mm-hmm.
There are no good blood-sucking jobs. We only take jobs nobody else wants. You can't get other species to suck blood anymore, even if you pay them.
Except for hedge fund managers. I was going to say lawyers, but it was too obvious.
But there's a way of doing things. Respect for tradition.
Yes.
Reverence for history.
Yes.
My kind and I were the first to colonize this area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first we invaded and drove out the original inhabitants, and then we were the first to colonize it. And we've been sucking blood here ever since, generation after generation. A way of life.
Yeah, and you've really taken full advantage of the opportunity. Just soared right up the food chain, didn't you?
The point is there are laws. Laws to protect us and keep you out. And when you jumped the dust ruffle, you broke the law.
There is no such law.
Well, there ought to be a law.
Ought to
but
be
there
law.
Isn't.
But we do have maximum dwelling occupancy laws.
Well,
and
yes,
this man is a single unit.
Single unit.
A single unit? Mm-hmm. Look at the size of him. He's a single planet. He could host every tick and bedbug east of the canal and still have room for a swarm of Alaskan mosquitoes and a couple of vampire bats. Hey, he should get to the Y once in a while, for God's sake.
You should see his wife.
Mm.
She gets to the Y. What a body.
Right. She's like two lifespans younger than he is.
What's the attraction?
Oh, the Bentley in the driveway.
You start sucking her blood and we're through.
My sweet, I would never.
The same goes for you. Stay on his side of the Tempur-Pedic.
Yes, my pet. Then it's settled. There's room for us all.
Well, no way.
No.
We want you gone.
Mm.
And we want you gone now.
We're not leaving.
I say you are.
I say we're not.
Well, then I challenge you to a duel. Unsheath your hypostome. En garde.
Ha!
Oh, my, Rocky. Serta's hypostome is a lot bigger than yours.
I can see that, but but size doesn't matter.
Oh, no, of course not, dear, of course not. But still, maybe we've been too hasty about all this. Maybe we should let them stay. Excuse me, Rocky. Hi, Serta, I'm Lime. Lime with a Y. I'm not sure we've been formally introduced.
You have been.
Pleasure, Lime. Can I interest you in a little interspecies intercourse?
Well, that's fine. Okay.
Oh, that's it! You're dead!
Stop! Stop! Stop the madness! Can't we all just get along? You tick, surely you can coexist with us just as you do with all of the other blood-sucking parasites. Here, south of the highway, the tick lives side by side with the mosquito, the deer fly, the leech.
The leech? There aren't any leeches in the Hamptons.
It could be a utopia. What do you say?
Never!
Look up in the sky!
Is it a Wall Street fat cat laden noise polluting helicopter diverted from the North Fork by FAA mandate?
Is it an overrated all too common if you've seen one, you've seen them all hummingbird?
No, it's a European hornet!
My God, look at the size of that thorax.
Well, that's right. They were big around here after invading a couple of years ago and artificially propping up the housing market, but lately they've fallen out of favor. Well, it's probably because your common currency stinks. Look at him, all flying around, all slow and buzzy.
I hate that type.
They don't belong here.
There ought to be a law.
You are listening to the Water's Edge Radio Hour. Anything can happen, and usually does.
Water's Edge is brought to you by Wolfer Estate Vineyards, Dan's Papers, which covers the East End like nobody else, Douglas Elliman Real Estate Company, Plum Builders. Plum Builders Modern Barn is built for real life. Build with Plum and build smart. And Michael Daly of Sotheby's International Realty of the Hamptons. And now it's time for our weekly feature from Dan's Papers. Written by Dan Rettiner, this is from the Hampton Subway Newsletter, the East End subway that runs from Southampton to Montauk Point.
Item. Bill Aspinall, our beloved current subway commissioner, won re-election last Tuesday. It's his unprecedented 16th two-year term. He advocated for marble tile, crystal chandeliers, and new subways every 3 years. His slogan, his only slogan ever, was budget be damned. Opposing him was Agnes Gretsch, who ran on an austerity platform and promised to balance the budget. She lost in a landslide.
Item. Slipper returned. The woman who lost her beautiful diamond-tipped glass slipper as she ran onto the subway at the Southampton platform last Monday at midnight returned this past Thursday to the lost and found in Hampton Bays to claim it. She was shabbily dressed and in need of a bath, but the ID said Cinderella, and the slipper fit, so who are we to argue?
Item. New uniforms. Paolo Lapopo, that sensational Italian designer, has created new uniforms for the subway police force. They are all black, with tight-fitting trousers and shirts with silk cuffs. They are stunning, simply stunning. And don't forget, if you see something, say something. Something nice, if you can. After all, this is the Hamptons.
Thanks, Dan. We'll see you on the subway real soon. Now we get lucky. We're going to hear another song from Brad Penuel and Telly Carusos of Hopefully Forgiven. Well, what are you guys going to play for us now?
We're going to play a song called South of Paradise.
South of Paradise. Seems like a good place to be. Hopefully Forgiven, everybody.
Time for a half-dead Chevy. Just can't get over you walking away. Do you talk to the one that you love the most? Your father, your friend with the bloody nose. And do they tell you the truth or say what you want them to say? On the sunniest day in weeks, just lie out here in this rusty pickup bed, waiting on the waves and the pain to bleed out. It's so dark out I can't see this neon arts of a shoulder tree, and it's still you that I find in the blackness of one track mind. I lost you once, won't be twice. I meet you somewhere south of paradise. Somewhere south of paradise. Preachers are thieves and your teachers lie. Salvation's free if you can handle the ride. But you knew that long before you ever got high. The smack in the back of a pink Cadillac. I remember the night that you jumped that track. Fog won't lift in 33 days now. Come down with me. Just lie out here in this rusty pickup bed, waiting on the waves and the pain to bleed out. It's so dark out I can't see this neon arts of a shoulder tree. It's still you that I find in the blackness of a one-track mind. I lost you once, won't be twice. I meet you somewhere south of paradise. Somewhere south of paradise. Down, how many deaths are in your crown? It don't matter here. I could just lie out here in this rusty pickup bed, waiting on the waves and the pain to bleed out. It's so dark out I can't see this shore. Hands front of me, it's still you that I find in the blackness of a one-track mind. I lost you once, won't be twice. I meet you somewhere south of paradise. Somewhere south of paradise.
Come down.
You guys are great. You know, there's only one problem I can see here, guys, is that pretty soon I'm going to be wanting to sing with you guys. And that's when you know, yeah, no. Rachel says no, so it won't happen. Well, that was great, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Our second piece is about a married couple that's going through a rough patch. They're consulting with Dr. Winston, a psychiatrist. It's called Cat's Cradle.
Well, how can I be of service?
I'm
not sure to where to begin. I mean, we're very happily married, but we do have a situation. Steve's urologist, Dr. Citron, suggested you might be able to help us.
What seems to be the problem?
We don't know. That's why we're here.
Now, if you've seen Dr. Citron, I assume that sexual activity has something to do with it?
Well, not exactly. Well, yes, you could say that. We thought that Steve must have a medical problem, mm-hmm. but Dr. Citron doesn't necessarily agree.
Oh, you mean a physical medical problem?
I feel fine. Perfectly normal. Alice was the one pushing the urologist.
He suggested we talk with you.
No guarantees, of course, but talking about things openly very often helps shed light on things like you're concerned with.
It's kind of weird, you know? I mean, we haven't had a fight since we've been married, and anything that would make us want to see a therapist, and this is a first for us.
Maybe you should elaborate on just why you went to see Dr. Citron and what you think about the situation. Mr. Smalley, what is the situation?
Steve seems to be suffering from a loss of libido.
You know, that's not really true. My libido is fine. It's just that when we get into bed...
Yes?
When we get into bed, I can't... you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We thought it was a temporary thing, but it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
How long?
5 months. We haven't had any real sex for 5 months.
Before that, there wasn't a problem?
Hell no.
You enjoyed a healthy sex life up until 5 months ago?
I'd say it was quite healthy, Dr. Winston. We had a terrific sex life.
Absolutely.
Well, I assume that Dr. Citron prescribed an ED medication such as Viagra?
It didn't help at all.
And Dr. Citron didn't think there were any physical issues.
And we only had physician's samples.
He said that the 3 pills in his physician's sample would be enough to tell if they help. No physical issues.
Well, look, something like a third of all married men experience chronic detumescence in their lives. There are lots of possible causes beyond the physical. It's rarely a permanent problem, though. Things work out.
Well, I guess that's why we're here, to work it out.
Of course.
No.
Has there been any change in your life that might be affecting how you feel about...
No, not really.
Job? Family?
I teach at Columbia. I enjoy it and expect to be up for tenure in a couple of years. We don't have any kids yet.
Mrs. Smalley?
Steve and I agreed to go for it,
mm-hmm.
having a baby, mm-hmm. about 6 months ago. I'm 37, and I'm not getting any younger, and we agreed it was now or never.
That's not the problem, Alice. We've been through that.
Ah, the decision to have a baby coincided with the onset of this situation.
We've been married for 4 years, almost 5. Mm-hmm. We agreed before we got married that someday we'd have a child, right. but hold off for a while.
Uh-huh.
You were both comfortable with putting off having a child?
We both have careers that are demanding, time-wise.
What do you do?
I'm an account executive at an advertising mm-hmm. agency.
And you teach at Columbia?
Yeah, sociology.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm writing a book. Mm-hmm. Now, Alice is the big breadwinner in the family.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Great. I mean, who wouldn't? We could never afford the apartment we have on my salary alone. We probably couldn't afford to have kids and stay in New York. I'm a lucky man.
Hmm.
Were you planning to continue your career after having a child?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you are comfortable with that?
She really likes what she's doing. It's important to her.
And?
It's not the kid.
She asked if anything has changed, and that's the only thing, Steve.
It's not about having a kid.
On some level, the decision to have a child doesn't intimidate you?
No. I was ready 5 years ago.
We lived together for 3 years before we got married, so we've been together for almost 8. And we've always talked about having a child together, but I wanted to hold off because of my job.
Okay. And you say you were comfortable with that.
Yes.
And your sex life together has been okay up until 5 months ago?
Mm-hmm. All the years we've been together, we've always had great sex.
Great.
Then,
great.
Bingo, we decide to go for a child and everything goes limp.
We even talked about me quitting teaching and being a Mr. Mom for a few years. It would give me more time to focus on my book, you know, when the kid was sleeping and whatnot.
We never reached any resolution on that.
So you were both comfortable with the idea of having a child. It wasn't a stressful decision for you.
No, I love my wife, and we figured we were ready to have a real family.
And you know how much I love you, Steve, but a fact is a fact. And having a baby is the only thing different today from where things were 6 months ago.
Mr. Smalley.
The cat disappeared.
Oh, my God. Tigger! What does Tigger have to do with this?
The day after we agreed to go for a child, Tigger disappeared.
For God's sake, Steve, Tigger was 12 years old. Old for a cat. Maybe he just got out and got run over or something.
You know there's more to it than that.
You're not going to go there, are you?
I've been thinking, Alice. We're supposed to talk about things if this therapy thing has a chance of helping us. What's the point of being here if we don't talk about it?
I would be embarrassed if I were you.
No, he's right, Mrs. Smalley. I'd like you both to feel that you can be completely open with me about everything. It's really the only way for us to get at what might be causing this problem.
Tigger was my cat before Alice moved in with me.
Yeah. He trained that cat to rub against his legs while he pleasured himself. Can you believe that?
It was a turn-on. You were okay with it when you found out.
I came home from work one night, and Steve's sitting there in the living room, stark naked, no clothes at all, doing it, and Tigger is rubbing against his legs, purring like a loud lion.
Was this a one-time event, or did it happen often?
Often.
Lots of men have kinky turn-ons.
Bestiality is against the law.
It's not bestiality, Alice.
No? Steve trained Tigger to bite his toes while we were having sex. We were having a damn menage a trois with his cat. A tri-colored mixed breed at that. If that's not bestiality, then I don't know what is.
It doesn't sound like bestiality.
Yeah.
It does sound like what is technically classified as zoophilia erotica.
Oh,
attraction to an animal's fur.
That's
once had a client who became aroused when a purring cat sat on his lap.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You were lucky I was never into S&M.
Well, if you were, I wouldn't be your wife. Yeah. Maybe it is zoophilia or whatever, but I say it's perverted. And I just decided that I loved you enough to get past it.
You joined the party.
Oh, my God.
You didn't get past it.
You never discussed your dislike of the cat being part of your sexual activity, Mrs. Smalley.
Mm-hmm. My parents have been married for 52 years. My mother said marriage was all about compromise.
Well, it's certainly an important part of a successful marriage.
Oh, and Tigger knew when to bite.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. Oh, ask Alice. Look, I am not trying to defend some weirdo sexual behavior. When I was a teenager, my pet cat, Skip, used to come up onto my bed, and he played with my toes. Him on top of the sheets, and I'd move my feet around, and he'd jump on my toes, like he was chasing a mouse. We had a lot of fun.
And when the cat played, did you...
I was 14. Boys do that sort of stuff.
Boys, not adults.
All right.
Most men forget that part of their life when they get older.
Yeah.
But as an introduction to puberty, things like that happen. Uh-huh. It's almost all the time, really.
See, I learned to get off with a cat biting my toes. How bad is that, huh? You seemed to like it at the time.
I thought it was weird.
Maybe. But it could be worse.
Oh.
You didn't seem to mind when we were making it in a bed.
Oh, my God.
Nobody got hurt. Alice and I have always had great sex, like she said, until Tigger disappeared.
You think Tigger's disappearance has affected your sex life?
It's a better bet than worrying about me being afraid to have a child.
And And Tigger disappeared around the time that you two decided to have a baby?
Yes.
The next day.
Very soon after.
Bereavement can be a cause of impotence in a man. It's not uncommon.
For a cat? You can't be serious.
It was more than bereavement, damn it.
Oh my gosh.
Tigger was part of the whole thing.
It was time for you to grow up, Steve.
You were not unhappy when Tigger disappeared.
No, I was relieved. It was a big relief.
Huh. You're talking as if you're glad he's gone. It's like you wanted to get rid of Tigger. You didn't. Please. Tell me that you didn't.
Mrs. Smalley.
What happened to Tigger, Alice?
I was tired of our menage a trois. You used to call it the cat's cradle, and I got tired of being in the cradle. I was tired of it, and I didn't want our child conceived in it.
But you never said anything.
It didn't happen all at once. The closer we got to the time we were going to decide to have a child, the more it bothered me. And you didn't even notice when I wasn't as enthusiastic about us having sex as I used to be.
No, I didn't.
And all the times I suggested we keep Tigger out of the bedroom, you just laughed it off and ignored me.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, I knew what you'd say if I really put my foot down.
What happened to Tigger, Mrs. Smalley?
I took him to the ASPCA.
That's why you asked me to put off going over there to get another cat.
I knew you'd freak out if I took charge of the problem.
It took 2 years for me to train that cat, and he'd been my friend for 12 before you took him away.
You never suspected.
I've given you everything I have, Alice. I clean the house. I do most of the cooking. I've supported your career in every way I could. I let you call the shots in our relationship. Where we go on vacation. What movies we go to see. The one thing that I held on to was Tigger. And you took him to the ASPCA.
I'm sorry, Stephen.
Well, we do have some things to talk about. How do you two want to proceed?
I'm out of here.
Steve, I didn't mean
you
to.
You don't
dear.
Get it, Alice. God knows I tried to make our marriage work, but the cradle, it's collapsed. I'm going to the ASPCA.
Wait.
Mrs. Smalley, may I pencil you in for an individual session next week?
Yeah.
Water's Edge is brought to you by Wolfer Estate Vineyards, Dan's Papers, which covers the East End like nobody else, Douglas Elliman Real Estate Company, Plum Builders. Plum Builders Modern Barn is built for real life. Build with Plum and build smart. And Michael Daly of Sotheby's International Realty of the Hamptons.
I want to go up where the mountains start. Roads blasting through the hills like it's the only way to go. Going alone if I have to. If I have to. I want to breathe. Breathe in the mountain air. Look at the world below like we just rose above it all. Flying so high, the whole gang outside. What a magical time. When everything you ever wanted, you were making it outside. And we would play on through the night. like the stars glowing in the night. But alone if I have to, yeah, they'll run around, dance like fools, and then they fall asleep in a puddle of drool. Just lay low by the fireside. They got a beat up guitar and everybody's getting high as a kite. They're gonna play all through the night. They're gonna play all through the night. Yeah, we play on. Join me for the ride. I wanna see the day you run with me. Chasing a common goal like it's the only way to go. I'll go alone if I have to. The way they shut it down, to run around, to let go, wanna flow. The people know that we create the time. We got a million things to do, but nothing's gonna get done tonight.
Forgiven. You know, you guys, I got a quick question. I know the actor's nightmare because I've had it before. You know, you're in the chorus of Oklahoma and you go onto the stage and you find out you're the lead in Long Day's Journey Into Night and you're naked. So I'm just curious, like, what's the musician's nightmare? Do musicians have one? Let that flop sweat know?
Silence.
Crickets.
Well, we have a soundtrack for that. Well, thank you very much. That was great. That was great. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Water's Edge Radio Hour. Once again, your host, Josh Pearl.
Thanks, Kat. We now offer some helpful advice from an experienced Water's Edge mom about that daunting subject, finding a babysitter.
Hi. I've spoken with many of you terrific new parents here in Water's Edge. You've been totally devoted to your precious baby, doted on her, seen to her every need, responded to her every cry. You find your baby enthralling, enchanting, and utterly absorbing. In short, you desperately need to get out of the house without Precious. You've known this for some time, but you can't admit it, because admitting it means you must rise to the Herculean labor of the 21st century, finding a babysitter for Precious. You're the newest parent on the block, and nobody will help you. Why should they? No parent in their right mind will jeopardize their freedom Saturday night by giving you the name of a dependable sitter. Oh, they may toss you a few names, but they'll be bottom-of-the-barrel types. They must be. If they're so wonderful with children, why aren't they sitting for your friends? No, you're on your own in the struggle for a sitter, and the pickings are slim. From a biological point of view, a teenager is your best bet because they have a lot of energy. Even if they're sexually active, they'll have energy left over, which is what makes us grown-ups so mad. The problem with using a teenager is that most of them are, well, downright scary. Some are obviously scary. Pierced, tattooed, orange moussed mohawk, chain-dangling leather jacket, nose ring scary. You probably wouldn't think of leaving Precious with Scary Teen, but think again. Precious will be fascinated by the light as it reflects off his orange moussed mohawk. She'll be entertained for hours by the rhythmic swing of the dangling nose ring. Plus, this adolescent is projecting so much outward hostility that you don't have to worry about suppressed demons. Although you might want to give some thought to the future of the human race. Others are quiet scary. They appear well-groomed, well-dressed, and may even carry a book around for effect. But look closer. The crossing of a leg reveals that this otherwise acceptable-looking teen has, on the inside of the left ankle, a dainty three-color tattoo of a black widow spider dismembering an adult that looks exactly like you. A final teenage option is the perfect-seeming lady or gentleman. Lady teen reads Jane Austen and dresses the part. Gentleman teen does his chemistry right away and for relaxation reads up on colleges with strong pre-med programs. Both lady and gentleman are free of even hidden tattoos and piercings. So what's lying dormant? Surely they are about to erupt into a live volcano of lava hot hormone-driven resentment. What if they pick the night when you're at the movies? The risk is too great. Reconsider the nose ringer. Ultimately, though, the biggest drawback of having a teenage babysitter is that they remind you that your baby is going to grow up to become one of them. Now that's really scary. Better stay home while you can. Oh, that's my sitter. Gotta go. I have dinner reservations. Nighty-night.
Thanks, Mom. And remember, it takes a village. Just maybe not this village.
Yes, it's time for the Hamptons Dating Game.
Welcome to the Hamptons Dating Game. Why go online when you can go on the radio? I'm your host, Jim Lang. Thank you. Now, let's meet our bachelor, Mark.
Hi, everyone.
Mark is a 35-year-old financial consultant who lives and works in Waynescott. He loves music, the beach, and basketball. He's hoping to meet his perfect match today on the Hamptons Dating Game. Isn't that right, Mark? And here are our bachelorettes.
Bachelorette number one, tell us about yourself.
Greetings. I am called Lotus. I'm a single mom with an amazing son named Siddhartha Namaste Ginsburg McMahon. I'm a yoga teacher, spiritual guider, vegan, holistic midwife, aromatherapist, meditative counseling female person who loves animals and in anything made with quinoa. I own my own yoga studio in Montauk, and I've been there for 10 years. We are open when the energy feels right, and we close when we feel the universe wants us to. Blessings to you all.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Yes, let's hear it for bachelorette number one, Mrs. Lotus. Okay, bachelorette number two, tell us about yourself.
I'm a local. A real local. Not like the rest of you invaders. I was born and raised here. Here, not up island and pretend to be from here, but actually here in Springs. So were my parents. We go back to the 1700s here. I'm a waitress in the summer and a bartender in the winter. I hate people from the city, summer shares, small dogs in purses. And the jitney. I like trucks with huge tires, the off-season in the Hamptons, and any places you faces don't know about out here. Oh, and my name is Katie.
Okay, yeah. Great.
All right, bachelorette number three, tell us about yourself.
My name is Elizabeth Allison Morgan Stanhope Forbes Spielberg Cohen Smith. But you may call me Lizzie. I live in my manor in Southampton from May to June, my estate in East Hampton from June to July, and my compound in Sagaponack from July to September. I'm a widow, many times, unfortunately. I tend to date more mature men with terminal diseases because I'm a giver. I'm very busy and active, and I have a lot of responsibilities, including making lists for my housekeeper and the things she needs to do so I can run my homes, making lists for the nannies, lists for my assistants, lists for the house managers, lists for the house cleaning teams, lists for the chefs and servers, lists for the construction teams and lawn maintenance team, lists for my hair, makeup, and clothing people. I have a lot of employees. Nothing would get done if I didn't take care of it with my lists. My life is very hard, but luckily I'm self-sufficient, so I get it all done. I love to spin and do workouts that make you skinny. I hate food and negative people.
Okay. Yes. Well, thank you, Lizzie. Sounds like a fun bunch, huh, Mark? What's your first question for our bachelorettes?
So bachelorette number one, I love music and play guitar in a band with my buddies on the weekends. We love requests. What song would you request if you came to our show?
Do you know the chanting of the Tibetan monks stricken with leprosy and a rare disease that silences their vocal cords?
No.
Oh... Well, then, maybe you can Google it and we can learn it together. I can play my harmonium with you.
Great. So, bachelorette number two, what song would you...
I've heard your band. You suck. I'd request another band.
Well, thanks for the feedback. Bachelorette number three, any requests?
You know that song they play at SoulCycle when we're like really sweaty and standing up in the saddle and we're doing that ab crunching thing or something? That song, play that one.
Was informative. Moving on. Mark, next question.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. My favorite word is grace. It's also my mom's name. My least favorite word is slacks. What are your favorite and least favorite words?
My favorite word is peace, and my least favorite word is sadness.
Really, Lotus? Because I thought your favorite word was Xanax, because I heard you shouting, "Where's my freaking Xanax?" over and over again when you were meditating in the green room.
You are mistaken, Katie. I am so sorry you carry all that anger and blame. I'm sending you positive energy.
Save it, tree pose. You're going to need it when that prescription runs out.
Katie, your energy is invading my aura, and I would really appreciate it if you could look inside your soul through your third eye.
Listen, lady, I'm about to give you a third eye.
I have a Xanax if you need it. I have a Xanax and a Percocet and a Valium and a Lithium and whatever this blue pill in my purse is, it might be an Advil or a horse tranquilizer. Either way, you'll feel better. And stop shouting at each other. You're giving me a headache.
So why don't you take that Advil you have, Lizzie?
That's a good idea. Can one of you crew people get me some Perrier so I can wash this down, please?
What if it is a horse tranquilizer, Lizzie?
Well, I suppose we'll find out.
I can't wait.
This is a bad idea, Lizzie. Let's take some pelvic floor rest together and see if that helps instead.
Stay away from my pelvic floor.
You're a sicko.
No, that is not what I was...
Oh, my God. Where did we find her? Where did you call her?
Hey, enough.
Oh, God.
Lizzie, take your pill.
Fine.
Lotus... Breathe through your own pelvic floor, and Katie, answer Mark's question. Your favorite and least favorite word.
Okay, Mark. My favorite word is fraud, and my least favorite word is lotus.
Lizzie?
My favorite word is Chanel. No, soul benefactor. No, Manolo and Chanel. Can I have two? And my least favorite word is fat.
or charitable donation.
Oh, man.
Just push through, Mark. Just get through.
But this is, I mean...
Yeah, I know.
Okay, okay. I love my nieces and nephews and would like to start a family in the next few years, ladies.
Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. I'd have your baby right now. Really, I think bringing children into the world via natural childbirth in a blow-up bathtub in your backyard with a community around to see the child actually leave the birth canal and enter the world is the meaning of life. Our baby would be filled with light and love
and prescription drugs. I'd have a kid. Why not? Maybe one. In a hospital, though, like real people, we could call him Jim. I already have that name tattooed on my lower back. Might as well make it useful. You're gonna have to get me liquored up first. Jim Beam. That would be our kid's name. And what I need to be drinking to create it and pop it out.
Oh, more children? Fine. I'll call my surrogate and make a list for her. I can have children. I just think it's ridiculous to destroy my abs like that for tiny, annoying little people who mess up your clothes and are always crying for hugs and love. Also, that was definitely not an Advil. But I feel much better. Thanks, Jews. Thanks, Jews. Jews. Thanks, Jews.
Okay, Mark! Mark, it's time to pick. Who do you think is your perfect match?
Are you kidding?
No, sir. I am not kidding. Listen, I just read the cards they write for me. So pick one of these gems and start your terrible life with them.
Really?
Really?
Oh, man. Well, if I have to, I guess I think I could find a way to deal with, Katie?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm out, too, because I just got a text, and my accountant spoke with yours, and this isn't going to work. You're very poor.
Okay, Mark. Looks like it's down to Lotus.
Oh, my.
Yes! Yes, I knew it. I put it into the universe and it happened. It happened. I love you, Mark. I can't wait to have your baby. We can call her Goddess. This is amazing.
Listen, Lotus, yeah, you seem like a nice girl, but we just be too different.
Oh,
and
my. I hear positivity. Oh.
And that wraps up our game. Join us next week for Hampton Dating Game, when our bachelorette is a fitness instructor and our bachelors are a commercial fisherman with a passion for beating people up, an artist who uses his neighbor's garbage to create his work, and an elderly man who doesn't want to die alone. Good night, everyone.
And now Josh has an essay for us called DIY.
We bought a wreck of a house. No one wanted it because it had to be knocked down and rebuilt. The cost was just too high unless you kept the house and rebuilt it yourself. Well, it's 200 feet from the beach with mooring rights, so we bought it. Then we took turns being horrified about all the work we had to do, but it was what we could afford. 11 years later, and we're still working on it. But after 3 years, we had a half a house. Well, then a child came, and the renovation slowed. The beach, originally a big lure, finally mattered. Well, since her birth, the beach has seen us nearly every day, rain or shine. Our dog Luna, of course, has always loved the beach. Her energy matches the shifting sands, the dancing waves, and the teasing birds. Our baby girl came to love it, too. Her footprints were new to her. Her naive senses reveled in the rich world at the water's edge. I enjoyed the beach too, but secretly, I always hoped I'd find a sack of money. It could happen. It has happened. I've heard stories. You guys heard stories too? People find stuff on the beach, you know? Well, 7 moneyless years have passed. But I'm still hoping maybe some rich, drunken boater lost a sack of hundreds. Or maybe ransom cash or bank theft or ill-gotten drug money will appear, and I promise I'll make something good come of it. It's amazing how much stuff washes up. Why not a sack of money? One day my children, three of them by now, changed the nature of my expectations. We went, and there was no money as usual. I whined quietly to myself about my hard labor on the house. My kids, meanwhile, sat in the sand, grinding the tiny diamonds in their soft fingers, blissfully ignorant of my discontent. Well, suddenly, my dog dashes off to roll in some funk, so I run after her to stop her. And after a minute, my kids, like prairie dogs, stood up to see where I had gone. I turned back to see them, the sun and the wind playing on their faces. They saw me and they smiled. The late afternoon sun just lit them up. Their pleasing squealing chatter rose above the gulls and the waves, and my heart leapt into my throat. Their grace flooded into me, a wavelength thing, gorgeous and full, permanent yet fleeting. I looked down at the beach, then up at the sky. Life had gifted me this blissful epiphany. Then Luna flushed a plover and they rocketed away. The plover over the water, Luna into it. My prairie dog kids all pointed their fingers her way, tracing the direction and speed with the sureness of endless tomorrows. And there it was, my bag of money, the proverbial pot of gold. It was them. It is this. It is being aware of all this. It's standing still and paying attention long enough to take it in and recognize the wealth at our fingertips. I smiled so wide, my lips ached. The breeze drove the waves into the beach. The plover flitted her way to freedom, and my kids went back to their serious fun. And one small part of me, looking forward, scanned the horizon still for a small canvas sack.
This has been The Water's Edge, where anything can happen and usually does. Water's Edge Radio Hour is a HitFest production. The HitFest players are Lucas Beck, J. Kelly Caldwell, Rachel Feldman, Catherine Lerner, Molly McKenna, and Josh Pearl. Tonight's show was written by Rachel Feldman, Ellis Gaskell, Molly McKenna, E. Allen Peterson, Josh Pearl, and Chris Plock. George Howard engineered, and Dave Seiniger assisted. John Landis and Peter Zablotsky produced. Josh Pearl directed.
And our music tonight was provided by Telly Carusos and Brad Penuel of Hopefully Forgiven.
If you'd like to be part of our show, be sure to join us for the taping of the next Water's Edge Radio Hour, Saturday, December 14th at 7 p.m., live from Wolfer Estate Vineyards. That's Saturday, December 14th at 7 p.m., live from Wolfer Estate Vineyards. Come on over and be part of the next Water's Edge Radio Hour.
Water's Edge is brought to you by Wolfer Estate Vineyards, Dan's Papers, which covers the East End like nobody else, Douglas Elliman Real Estate Company, Plum Builders. Plum Builders Modern Barn is built for real life. Build with Plum and build smart. And Michael Daly of Sotheby's International Realty of the Hamptons.